Hey, hey, hey.
Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. Today I have with me your other hostess, Stephanie. We are breathing the same air. She is in Houston, Texas right now. This is so super exciting. Eric, on the other hand, could be in Houston, Texas, but because he does not answer his phone, he's in San Antonio and not with us right now. Say hello to the people, Eric.
Well, you got to tell them there was nothing for me to answer.
I said so.
I can't miss the call that was never placed.
Oh, my God. Whatever. And then Carl is in Washington, D.C., where everyone is super sad. For some reason, I don't know why.
It's
because we all live in the swamp. That is why. And we're apparently going to be drained very soon. So that's a...
And today we will discuss if Carl will stop crunching what popcorn. What are you doing, guy? I hear, I don't know.
Well, in the tradition of our political campaign, I'm enjoying a bowl full of Skittles right now.
Oh,
so, yes,
that's harsh.
I'm having only a small handful of Skittles,
don't go
might
outside,
I add.
Because, sir. Please.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So today we are discussing Black Mirror. This is the first in many episodes that we will have about Black Mirror. Because Eric has only seen one episode of Black Mirror, which I will take him to task about, because I think that people are excited about this episode for one reason only, that is really shallow. We'll get into that later. We're talking about Black Mirror's third season.
Yes.
You say fourth episode?
Yes.
Or is it the third episode?
It's the fourth episode.
It's the fourth.
It's the fourth. It is called San Junipero.
Ew.
This was really popular on Twitter. I really saw a lot of people tweeting about this episode was really phenomenal to them. They really responded to this one. So today on Sci-Fi Party Line, we will discuss this. Now, I will get my, vinegar about what I think that guys are responding to about this, is that it seems to me that when two beautiful women...
Wait,
I'm going to stop you right there, Carl.
I think it's very important that our listeners know a couple of things before we get into the not only the episode, but into your analysis of the episode. Can I have just a moment? Can I have just a second?
Sir, proceed. I will give you that because you were so polite. Proceed.
Thank you. Listeners of the Sci-Fi Party Line, we enjoy your patronage, and we're so happy that you partake of our casts. This one in particular, I've got to say, the ladies have imbibed a bit before the program.
What?
And so the depth of analysis, I was just going to say, it's going to be a little unique today. It's gonna, the analysis and the theories that come about early on in this podcast are going to be, they're going to be special, is all I'm going to say. And I'm putting this at the beginning of the cast, not just as you, listeners, for your benefit,
what?
But for the ladies' benefit.
Ever.
When they listen back on this cast during the editing, and they hear the things that they are about to say, they're going to say, man, I sure am glad Kyle told everybody ahead of time, because this... But again, I haven't heard what they're going to say.
No,
I'm really going to, but I just want you all to know this is going to be a very special episode of Sci-Fi Party. Oh, by the way, did I mention that they're in bed together right now? Pussy!
Shut up!
It was fitting for the lesbian episode.
Because, so this is what I was going to say before Carl wanted to interject his mansplaining. Because that's what that was.
That was so,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what that was.
That was mansplaining.
That I feel, and you're going to have to prove to me that otherwise, that guys only responded positively to this episode because there were beautiful lesbian couple having sex and having relations, whatever.
That was
in a sci-fi setting. Now they're gonna have to really sell it to me beyond that to make me to convince me that they understood what was really happening in the episode. I know that me declaring this at the beginning of the episode is in fact insulting, and I should be ashamed of myself for implying that implying that you two would, you know, be so shallow as to only be interested in this episode because there were two beautiful lesbians having sex for your benefit. But I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and let you explain to me why you thought this episode was so strong, and why you think that other people as well thought this episode was so good. And I would also challenge you to explain to me explain to me if you would have responded to this episode if it were two males having instead of two females. So I that's a lot of stuff to unpack. It's a lot of stuff to unpack. And I know that you're going to be on the defense, but I really want you to you know, not try to defend yourself, but just give me your experience of what you thought about this episode. Because to me, while other people say that this particular episode of Black Mirror was the strongest, I think that there were other ones. I think there were other episodes that were way stronger than this one. So you're going to have to really unpack it for me, Carl and Eric, and really
this one was actually very predictable in my mind.
Yeah, so guys, come on. Okay.
Well, bottled scotch, you've made quite a point there. Let me back up and try to unpack again of the couple of things.
That was I know that I'm a little bit tipsy, but I think that came across a little.
I feel that I have full control of my working vocabulary.
And I mean, was it that bad? I feel like if I was fine.
All right. All right. Can I begin now?
I don't know.
We're muted.
That's very hard to believe. Anyway, I have got to say that, first of all, this season of Black Mirror has been downright spectacular.
Yes.
Just top to bottom, all of the episodes have been real winners to me. And I mean, even more than the previous two seasons, I really, really think they knocked it out of the park this year. Of the episodes in season 3, San Junipero is actually my favorite. And it is my favorite for a variety of reasons. Now, the first most superficial reason is not what Kat has so coherently brought up as a dominant theme of the episode. The real reasons I loved San Junipero is the very same reason, in line with what came in so strongly with Stranger Things, the 80s campers. It was beautiful walking into the 80s again. They start the episode like half of the music videos from 1984-85, including the fantastic soundtrack all throughout the episode. It was awesome to once again go back to the 80s. I enjoyed that very much. And right down to the very first celebrity that we see in the episode is one, my personal favorite, one, Max Headroom, right on the screen, which, by the way, if you know the story of Max Headroom, is a fascinating foreshadowing or hint as to everything that's going down in the episode. It was so classy, so elegantly done. It's wonderful, isn't it? So, set in the 80s, already a win. Music soundtrack, top-notch. Best of the entire season in Black. So much so, the guys even came up with a mixtape. You can go online and get the San Junipero music mixtape that they put together because it is so classic and so well done. So I'm just, this is just a frame. Haven't even gotten into the episode yet. Haven't even started with the stuff that went down. you might have said that it was predictable. I'm going to say I very much enjoyed the Matrix-like twist that went down in the episode early on. We don't really know where things are going. We don't know what direction the episode is headed in. I'm just enjoying the moment. Oh, and by the way, there were scenes, again, like Stranger Things. It looked like the cafe from the Terminator, the club where they all went the Terminator with the neon and the first time that you see the Model 101 and Sarah Connor. Anyway, so the setting, wonderful. You were watching pretty much the first half of this episode and not having any idea, where is this going? Who are these people? Why is this stuff important? I mean, you're enjoying the friendship and you're enjoying seeing Barb out in the club by herself and trying to wonder why she's so uncomfortable. And then you see the that was supposed to be a Stranger Things reference.
Yeah, we got that. Yeah,
it's...
Thank you, Yorkie. We'll get back to it. So yes, you're bonding in that moment where, you know, you see the beautiful person in the club and she's out there having a great time. And then there's a shy person that's like, you know, I'm not really about clubs and I just want to, you know, experience something different. And you're wondering, why is this sci-fi? Why is this a story that is, you know, supposed to be in line with Black Mirror? Where's the twist? Where's the, you know, where's the thing that's going on there? And honestly, it was not such a big deal to me, even though you brought it up, that it happened to be a lesbian couple. It was, and by the way, you know, I have a feeling somebody was probably bi because it was an exploration of sexuality in this episode. But again, that's not the point. The point is you're trying to figure out, well, you know, you want to see somebody having a good time. You're trying to understand the social butterfly. You're trying to figure out what the dynamics are going on between those two. Why is all of this important? And then the story just turns and you're exposed to the real world and the depth and seriousness about where they are and about all the people that are in this world. That is a fantastic twist that you get halfway into the episode before you really see what's actually going on, and yet it still held your attention up to that point. And when the twist occurs, it is a Matrix scale twist. It was very well done. I thought that was exciting.
So what exactly was exciting to you? I'm sorry to cut you off. What exactly about the Matrix twist, because we've seen this before, what was exciting again?
Well, to me, it was unexpected. Did you go into this episode and you said, oh, they're in a simulation and yes, people are dead and yes, this is all the, that's all there
no,
is.
No,
that,
so that's how I felt.
No, so yes, when I went into this episode, I thought it was exciting and I thought other people thought it was exciting because you could not tell whether I initially thought they were time traveling because
yes,
some of them,
that's what I thought first,
right,
too.
So
yes,
I thought that they were trying yes, to find each other through time and that perhaps yes, that they could only jump several times before something would happen because they was like, oh, you could find what's her face in 2010 or you can find her in this era or something like that. I had no idea that they were in a virtual world. So the mystery of not knowing exactly what was going on was intriguing to me. I agree there. Yeah, that was intriguing. But when they
and the setting too. I mean, come on, they did the 80s very well. I mean, not as well as Stranger Things.
Yeah,
but come on.
No,
it was
I thought. I'm sorry about this because I'm not gonna remember people's names. But Black Chick's hair to the side swoop hair and it was curly.
Oh,
yes,
it was
weird.
The 80s. That
was
so 80s.
Quintessential 80s, and I absolutely enjoyed that. I really did. And another thing that I enjoyed, that it was okay and nobody pitched a fit that two women wanted to get married. It was just like, okay, fine. So you're going to marry this one guy so you can have this benefit or whatever. But hey, why don't you marry somebody you know, blah, blah, blah. That's a great thing. Another thing about the story that I like the journey to the love that they got. But so what was the black chick's name? Was it Kelly?
Yes.
You say Kelly to me was very unreasonable in that she didn't want to attach to anybody. But when she kind of knew she was having this feelings for this one person, she just kind of shat on her at every given moment that she could. And it was just, I don't know, it was irritating in a way. And I just feel that...
Just stop that insanity, because I've known three women like that. So that's totally
believable. I'm just saying,
like,
it was just not reasonable for her. Like, because she expected the other lady to ask things about her when she... Like, everything about her was on edge. You never knew what to do with her. She was... if you did this one thing, you felt like she was going to run away. If you did this one other thing, you felt she was gonna run away. So she was mad at the one lady because she didn't ask about her husband or anything. She's like, you never asked about my husband, you never did this. But it was just like, yeah, you never asked about the husband or everything because you never felt safe enough to do so, because you thought maybe this chick would flee. You know what I'm saying? So she was,
yes,
to me, not unstable in the weird, like, bipolar unstable, but unstable in a way that it was just
emotional.
You never knew what to expect from this person. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
I thought that
was a very realistic portrayal. Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like I have a counterbalance to all this. So, Eric, did you want to share your opinion before I let in?
Sure. Well, as you guys know, this is the only episode I have seen, and...
Wait, so Eric, clarify, of Black Mirror, period?
Or season 3?
Yes,
three.
Black Mirror, period. This is the only episode I've ever seen.
Oh, man. Slacker!
Oh, wait, what compelled you to watch this particular one, Eric?
Lesbians.
I'll get to that. But, of course, I've been aware of the show since it first came out on Netflix here in the U.S. a while back. Always known. I think I watched like the first 5 minutes of the very first episode when it first came out, and then I was like, "All right, okay." But because anthology shows in general
are amazing.
In the last ten years, haven't really been my thing. It was different 20 years ago, 20+ years ago. But whatever. Or we'll see. It's not that it's not my thing. It's that by its very nature, being an anthology show, I feel almost no urgency, like, to have to get to it, you know, I guess is really what I'm saying. But, the reason I watched this particular episode just a week or two ago was because a good friend of mine had been watching all the series, and he was telling me you should really check out this one episode in particular. And I said, okay, why is that? And he said, well, I think it's, how did he put it? It's like your thing. It's like that thing. It's your thing. That you're like, you'll know. You watch it, you'll know why I'm saying you should watch it. And I said, okay, all right, fair enough. But if this person doesn't usually suggest specific things for me to watch, so when this person does, I'll totally give it a go. See what's going on. And I did, and I pushed play, and right away I noticed the same things Carl spoke about when he was talking about your initial introduction into the world of this episode. But the other thing I noticed is that I guess I too had seen a lot of this going around Twitter as well, just about this episode, because I had seen that screenshot of that character Yorkie in this Black Mirror episode. I had seen that screenshot previously on Twitter, but I didn't know this is what it was referring to. I thought it was just like another still image from Halt and Catch Fire or something like that. Then it all like snaps, like, you know, into focus. Once I, oh, okay, now I get it. Now I get why I'm seeing this on Twitter. Okay, all right. And then initially, those things that Carl mentioned at the beginning, yes, I responded positively to those things as well. And at first, I thought this really looked good, all things considered, for the time period and the setting. The first thing to draw me in was, of course, the Lost Boys movie poster. That's a big one.
Greg Hedge, Eric. Greg Hedge.
Not just because of the movie poster, but because this fictional world, San Junipero, is very similar to the way Santa Clarita is depicted in the movie, Lost Boys. First thought is, is this going to be some weird vampire story? Or is this going to, be like an alternate story that takes place in the Lost Boys world? You know, that wouldn't make sense, because that would be, like, intro meta or something. But anyway, but then moving on. Okay, yes, in the first 5 to 10 minutes, I thought for sure either time travel is happening, similar to Quantum Leap, or I thought that maybe these were aliens who were, visiting Earth in this time period, but they somehow made themselves look like humans, were passing for humans. And the reason I thought this was because there was a big giveaway in the first 5 minutes when she was exploring the club or whatever, and then she was looking at the arcade game, and then the other guy there said, yeah, this game used to be really popular back then, and so that was, very in your face, they're not of this world or of this time, so that's why I thought, time travel or aliens, observing aliens. I'm still in it, and I'm enjoying it. And then when you fast forward to when Yorkie is trying to get back to try to find Kelly and then traveling through the time periods, now I get it. That's exactly why my friend told me to check this out, because anybody who knows me well knows I'm obsessed with period stuff. And actually, to take it a step further, not only am I into period stuff, but I also love stuff where within the same movie or whatever it is, you get to see the same setting in different time periods.
Yes.
I really love the original Time Machine movie and make in the early 2000s, because you get to see time change in the same spot. Always been a big fan of that. Everything was all good. And then when you start get to the mini reveal, midway in the episode, when you learn that these people are not who they seem to be, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, there was absolutely no shock factor for me in that. I didn't know exactly how it was going to be revealed or what the deal was. But by that point, I already figured some type of catfish situation was going on. So, I already pretty much expected that this wasn't going to turn out the way it was. And then here's the thing. The first time they showed, present day in the story, that's where I started jumping out of the episode. Or that was the first point where I started getting taken out, was when they showed present day times. And I became very disengaged at that point in the story going forward. And then, yes, the interplay with the two ladies in present day and the situation they were having to deal with their new formed relationship, I couldn't really say, I was out. None of it really drew me in. None of it really worked for me. It's not that it didn't work. It all seemed very trite. It was hard for me to have any feeling or emotion.
Eric, can you explain trite and what you mean by what you're just saying? Because I mean, I know the definition of the words you're saying, but I don't understand in context with the story why it's trite.
Because the story, the episode, it had me completely drawn in the first, let's say, half. Whereas, this is some awesome world building, that they're forming here in the narrative, and I'm totally in this, and where is this taking me? And then, boom, as soon as we go to, current day, and we understand that these two people are not who they seem to be in this virtual world, and then once I got to see the quote-unquote real world, and then got to see what the real-life situations they were dealing with, I was just wow, this is oh man, this is anticipation. This is like this is like expecting like this really great gift has been just delivered to you, and you're unboxing it, and then okay, smaller box inside. What is this, a sweater? Like I thought this was gonna be something else. I wasn't expecting this to be a sweater. It didn't look like a sweater in the beginning.
See, it did to me.
Oh my god.
Okay,
it did not to me. It didn't to me. And the other thing is too, the way Carl described the beginning, you know, I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, Netflix does it again. You know, this is a TV show, but it looks, you know, quasi-cinematic at the very beginning. But little did I know that all we'd ever see of that world was in that same city block. So then that started taking away from it, because I was like, wow, we're going to go all through this world or this town, or, and I don't know. I mean, it's cool. I get to see the different time changes, but I only get to see this one club, you know, and I don't get to really see anything else.
You got to see the quagmire.
Yeah, you got to see the S&M club, which was really
dumb.
Yeah.
In the Junipero world, and not so much. And then, I don't know. I really didn't respond to or like the future world look. You know what I think works so much better for me personally. You know, I was thinking, because it's been a long time since. You know, whenever you see any movie, whether it's like Demolition Man or Total Recall or Back to the Future 2, like, you know how you can like tell, oh, that's how they did the future whenever that movie was made or whatever. And if they don't go apocalyptic, if they go for like nice shiny future, you know, every decade there's been like a look of how they make future look. And this version of future was like the most boring, because it just reminded me of like nothing special. And I'm not saying you have to make the Fifth Element future world. I'm not saying that at all. Because what I think works better for me for near future is when they do something like Interstellar, when they're on Earth. Like, somehow you just get it's the future, even though it doesn't look that different. But you don't see people wearing like silver like jumpsuits. You know what I mean? Or like little like hybrid cars that we're supposed. I mean, come on, we all know the car thing. Like, the futuristic car thing has never worked since the beginning of film and television. I mean, they just almost never pulled. Maybe Minority Report did it, but, like, other than them, like, no one's ever really got the future car thing down. So it just took me out of it, and it just felt like, oh, wow, because I was just expecting more, and it was just kind of a downer. And then, like, again, the conflict of what they're trying to deal with, I had lost all attachment to the characters at that point. I guess there was a lesbian thing. I would have missed it if you guys wouldn't have told me that it was there.
It's not that big a deal.
Color, and that's a little bit different than this.
So, Eric, you haven't seen all of the episodes of Black Mirror, but there are some things that connect them in terms of look and feel.
I was assuming the weird mirror thing that happened.
Well, right.
Was
and
maybe
then
a connector.
Their near future is that way, too. It looks like it's very near future. Throughout any time.
Oh, so you're saying that keeps in line with the show?
Yeah, it keeps in line with the show quite a bit. And then there's a song.
Oh.
There's a song that actually is interconnected through episodes as well that comes up. What the heck is it? It's called something. Anyone who knows what love is will understand. Anyway, so that song comes up a few times. I don't know. As a fan of the entire series, I didn't think that this was the strongest episode, and I wasn't enthralled when at the opening scene. It just felt too perfect for me. It felt very much like the holodeck on the Enterprise.
Well, I also think that's what they were going for.
Too
perfect.
Immediately. That's why I was like, oh, well, these people are either dead or in a coma, and this is a way for them to live, basically. That's totally what I jumped to. I didn't jump to time travel. I didn't jump
that's
to anything
so weird,
else
though.
Because it was holodeck to me. It was so perfect. All of the hits from the 80s, all of the over-the-top new wave fashion, all of that seemed just far too perfect. The thing that was charming about Stranger Things is there were some hodgepodge of 70s left over. And
which
that,
Carl so eloquently
right,
pointed
and that
out.
Was yeah. very much, that was very much to me spoke to real 80s instead of like over-the-top hyperbolic 80s.
Well, no, I just want to point out though, because I'm a big fan of spotting this stuff, that's because Stranger Things looked very appropriately 1983, and this is supposed to be, I think, 87 or 88.
Yes.
And there's a massive difference.
Yes, we all lived through that.
So it makes sense, though, that 87, 88 looks more saccharine, and 83 has a lot more leftover 70s stuff.
Yeah, we all lived through 1987.
Not me, I wasn't born then.
Uh-huh. And okay. Not everybody had the shoulder pads and the giant hair, and, you know, the... Not everybody was that.
No, you're right. Not literally everybody had that. But if you were, like, in the night scene of, like, a coastal town, possibly college town, I think there might be more of it in that setting.
I mean, okay, so I'll concede that to you. However, because it was top hits of the 80s, like one after the other. I'm sorry, there weren't very many super huge hits in the 80s like that. Like, they just, one after another, oh, this hit, this hit, this hit. That seemed to me like a holodeck. And that's why I wasn't immediately drawn into the episode like some of the other episodes of the series.
I couldn't gauge that personally because I don't know the tone of the show that well. So, see, even though it did seem perfect, I couldn't tell, you know, I have no frame of reference to know, you know, is that in line with this show or is this supposed to be weird? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know going in how much each individual director gets to, like...
Well, I'll tell you this, it's an anthology show, so even though their near future looks very similar from episode to episode, they are really discreet episodes. They are from start to finish their own autonomous stories. However, this one just seemed to be too glittery for me. It's just too much. And then so I couldn't quite get into it. And then, like you said, there were these reveals very early on that kind of pointed, that reaffirmed my suspicions, like you pointed out earlier, the arcade scene where they spoke about these supposedly brand new games in the past tense, that didn't resonate for me as time travel so much as it resonated for me as tourists who were nostalgic. And then, of course, my suspicions were confirmed later on in the episode. And I think the other thing that didn't quite pull me into this episode was the characters themselves were not that convincing. And I think in particular, Kelly's character, she's supposed to be... She's very one-dimensional from the get-go. And she wasn't likable. She wasn't accessible for me. She was very pretty to look at. Very vibrant, very flash in the pan, in my opinion. And the other one was just kind of boring. Like, what was her name? Yorkie? That's why. Yeah. First of all, why on earth would you call somebody Yorkie as a character? That's ridiculous. And then not really explain it that much. Like, it was not explained that well why she was called Yorkie and why she, as a person, allowed that to happen to herself. You know, she was very blah to me, and why on earth would someone as flamboyant and life of the party as Kelly be drawn to this Yorkie person?
Because there's the I want to corrupt something innocent
maybe
thing that's going
mm-hmm.
on.
Maybe. I didn't buy it. I just have to say, I did not buy that. And actually, the compelling part for me of the episode was when they went to the near future or their present. And, you know, they kind of revealed a few items about themselves. A few a few characteristics about themselves that kind of made them more accessible and more human for me. So obviously had been able to tell that Yorkie was in a coma from pretty early on in the episode, but didn't know the backstory of Kelly. I didn't understand why she was so afraid of commitment and so really just kind of flaky.
I didn't like that either.
I really didn't like that.
Because it didn't seem like she wanted people to read her mind and not, she couldn't communicate or something.
Right.
And I'm like, nobody does that. Like, you have to fucking communicate.
And then to
Carla, I understand that you want to say that all females do not freaking communicate, but I try to communicate, and the way she tried to... So when she freaked out on Yorkie about, you didn't even ask about my ex-husband and blah, blah, blah. You can't talk about that. I was serious when I said that she did not allow Yorkie to feel free enough to ask her those things.
No, and then who does that on a vacation, right? Because this is all very much a vacation setting. Who goes into the hard questions of, oh, so your husband, obviously he's not around. What happened to him? Like, nobody does that on a vacation.
Yeah.
Nope. And anyway, so I don't know. It was very hard for me and kind of jarring to then pivot and say, oh, this Kelly character, she's got depth and she cares and all of this. I actually had more compassion for the nurse guy who wanted to marry Yorkie just to make sure that she could move on in this digital afterlife, which the digital afterlife thing is even more compelling than the two characters themselves. They were kind of victims of, they were trying to be an interesting storyline, but the concept itself was more interesting, and the characters just kind of faded into the background for me. The most interesting part of this episode was the very end when a robot put Kelly's consciousness into a server. I mean, that was actually exhilarating and terrifying for me, which,
explain,
by the way,
explain why that's terrifying and not exciting for you, because I think it's exciting to be able to live beyond your mortal self.
Coil,
yeah, mortal coil. I was trying not to go Shakespearean because we did it last night with Cora, but why would that be terrifying as opposed to exciting to you?
It's terrifying to me because Kelly earlier on in the episode made a valid point when she was talking about why her husband didn't do that. Her husband lived a life, didn't want to continue a false life or a facsimile of a life. And, you know, that's a very valid choice for someone. There are a lot of people in this world who are not afraid of dying, and they should have that choice. And then when you think about the choice of whether or not you would continue on and whatever you believe after death, if you continue on in an afterlife, if you think that you just turn off like a computer, the alternative then is kind of terrifying, where you don't actually, you're not still living, but you're not dead, and you're actually stored in this giant server for an undefined amount of time. I mean, that could get blown up at any time, that could whatever, that could, it's just not necessarily permanent. It's impermanent, just like life is in general. I would rather maybe just die. I think I just want to die.
Because, like, right, I mean, because right now, the way we are designed as humans in our own bodies, we have a finite time,
mm-hmm, yeah,
right?
Right.
And we are programmed to accept that we have maybe 70, 80 years on this planet. That's not enough to learn all the wonderful things that there is on life. So if you are able to be uploaded into like a server or whatever, why not? Because you can be able to explore. And if you're not so tired, because I understand that there's some people who, like, the world changed so much that they get tired and they become weary and they do not want to deal with anything and they want to just end it.
But if you have these routines, I mean, ultimately, these are all algorithms, these are all programs. I mean, there was no mention of San Junipero actually learning anything new. So it's on this endless loop. And in fact, they actually referenced it when they were talking about the quagmire, how people go there to feel. They're trying to go there to feel anything at all.
What do you mean by learning things new, though? What do you? What does that mean? Because everybody who enters is new by definition.
Right, but you can if you're talking about immortality, that return on investment declines fairly quickly.
Okay, we're out.
What? Who?
Yeah, that's Eric.
Anyway, but notice how the concept itself is way more fascinating than the two characters. I don't care about them. I care about this concept right now that we're talking about, this idea of immortality, this digital immortality, whether or not it's worth it, whether or not it should be a choice, and whether or not, you know, that truly is immortality, or if it's simply just loading your consciousness into something that couldn't move and grow. And
okay.
So that's the thing, that those kinds of concepts are why I like Black Mirror in the first place. And the fact that I am not talking about the characters themselves as much, for me, it speaks to the fact that this episode was not the best for me, because I will talk to you all day long about other episodes from season 3 that were super jarring. The characters themselves were absolutely engaging. Agreed. These two characters were like, eh. But, you know, again, the concept was cool. It's been done. It's very predictable. It was very predictable to me. I was not thrilled about this episode. I mean, I'm sorry, guys.
It's not
guys.
That I wasn't thrilled about it. It's that I've seen it before, and I wanted to make sure, and I wanted to confirm that. I mean, I know you're not going to admit on this podcast because you can't. That, but you know, I don't know why other people responded to this, but it was. I feel a little bit like Stephanie. Carl, you know what I mean? It's just like, it was okay. There were other things about other episodes that were way more relatable and intense to me. So you're going to have to kind of sell it to me, Carl. And I'm going to let you, because you're trying to come in. So come on in, Carl.
All right. So let me try to address a couple of these things, because, yeah, you covered a lot of areas. The first thing is, okay, I will admit, compared to the character development in some of the other episodes of Black Mirror, agree, these two did not have the depth that we have seen elsewhere. But what Stephanie was you know, rattling off at the last part of the episode here is something that was really exciting. The concept of what they cover, whether you think you've seen it before or not, the questions that that you were just asking are brought up in the episode and are a big part of what this episode is about. The questions of the immortality and the morality of the brain downloading and all of that are the core issues of the whole second half of the episode. It's at the heart of the disagreement between Kelly and Yorkie, not just the romantic component of it, but, you know, why won't you come with me? Why won't you join me in this? That was the very debate that they were having. And it does touch on the very broad issue that they bring up in this episode, which I don't think has been done well elsewhere. I mean, the concept of a holodeck, yes, but immortal storage of, you know, your brain and what a moral and social impact that's going to have. Granted, they just touched on it in this episode. Of course, they could have delved deeper in it, but for them to even to approach it and do it in a way that is grounded in an emotional story, whether you thought the characters were deep enough or not, considering that they were at the same time bringing along the baggage of automated immortality, you know, you may not have been able to fill all of that in an episode of this length, which, by the way, well, we'll talk about that later. So, you know, again, it was a big idea for one episode. And a lot of stuff was happening. You had the nostalgia, the pseudo time travel. You had the conceptual switch going on in there. You had the morality issue.
I totally agree. But that was the second half of the episode, Carl. Like,
yes, only though. That's the fact that they could put the fact that they could put all of that in there is impressive and it's unique.
I guess. I wish they had explored the concept of, remember when in the episode early on, well, actually, I guess it was early on in the second half when they introduced flashes of the modern world, and they said, well, people who are not dead can only visit their a week at a time, was that right, or one day at a time every week or something?
5 hours a week.
Whatever.
5 hours.
Because it does something terrible to the living. If they're in there for longer, that would have been an interesting thread to explore for me. Why? What? So what does death, what is different from a dead consciousness and a living consciousness, where someone living would go crazy and somebody dead, it wouldn't affect them? I mean, that kind of stuff would have been interesting for me, because that might have helped along the conversation that, you're right, Carl, they touched on, which was, you know, the choice of whether or not they were going to continue as a digital life, or if they were going to just end their line.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, to me, the characters didn't move the story along so much as the provocative nature of the concept.
Yeah. I thought the characters were necessary to bring together the big concepts that they were talking about. Agree, this is not as character driven as some of the others have been. But again, they were trying to cover a lot of ground, and I'm cutting them some slack given that.
Oh,
the other thing that I thought was
happening.
There's always slack happening. But the other thing that I thought was interesting about this particular episode, and not to, you know, quote, spoil things for our dear Eric here, but Black Mirror episodes don't typically end on a rosy note. You know, they've got a spin that they go, and for this one to have a happy 80s kind of riding off into the sunset ending was a little different for a Black Mirror episode, I thought.
I think that, without spoiling it for Eric, I think the cool thing about this whole series of Black Mirror is it takes it beyond what normal it takes every concept that they play with beyond what any normal television show would do. So oftentimes you can get a sense of where a normal television show would have ended the story, yet Black Mirror continues on, and that's where some of the great twists come in, is after where normal television would have ended. In this particular episode, I didn't think that it worked as well, just because it seems like this concept itself was, it's been explored quite a bit.
Where? Are you just talking about the concept of a holodeck, or are you talking about immortal life within a machine?
Immortal life within a machine. I mean, Caprica.
Where?
Caprica? Their idea of heaven?
No humans ever really made it there. That's just all the androids talking about.
They were going to sell that to humans.
Okay, all right. Any place else?
In science fiction literature, I can think of The Garden. I can think of The Cube.
Okay. All right. I was curious because it's a topic I think is... Kat, you all right there?
The Cube, just... Wow. I don't know. That just cracks me up.
Not Hypercube.
No. I'm talking about Cube with freaking Esri Dax.
Oh, there's World of Tomorrow. Have you seen World of Tomorrow? Not the George Clooney movie, but the short, the Don Hertzfeldt, or what's his name? That short anime.
Oh, but yes, by the way, that thing, that's the one that came out like a year or two ago?
Yeah.
The animated short?
Uh-huh.
I was going to say, this very much reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Which I had seen previously.
Yes, this concept has been well defined and explored.
It. Okay.
You should watch it. I think it's available on Netflix now.
Okay, I'll check it out.
It doesn't take that much of your time, no pun intended.
It's 16 minutes long. It's amazing. It's my sense of humor, and it absolutely touches on consciousness loaded up into a cloud.
Sweet. All right, yeah. I know that one. I'll check it out. Okay, so Eric, you want to jump in on that?
I'd also like to say that I'm drunk, Carl. Rude.
No. No. No.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, me coming into it for the first time, the series, in the first half, I thought, wow, maybe I need to check out more episodes.
You do, then, Eric. Oh, my God.
But then once it started petering out towards the end, like, I felt like I would, like, wash my hands of it at that point. And then I was like, all right, back on the shelf you go. But now, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't terrible, though. It's not so much that it was a deal breaker. I mean, it's more because my plate is already too full right now with all these other things, all these other shows we got going on. You know, in a world, you know, 15 plus years ago when there was a dearth of things for me to watch, oh, this probably would have been, like, you know, my top three favorite shows. But in 2016, there's just, like, way too much going on. I mean, forget about all the other shows. Even if I just only limited myself to Netflix only series, there's still too much. Like, so it's just, that's the real problem. It seemed pretty good. I already agree with everything Stephanie said about the characters and not caring about what they had going on. I thought it would have been more interesting if one of the main two was, I don't know, I thought it would have been possibly more interesting if one of them wasn't the gender that they said they were, or not that they said, but that they appeared to be.
Oh, that's good, Eric, yeah.
Or something like, yeah, that would have been, like, even more interesting, because then you would have, even though I'm sure that's been done in plenty of other literature, at least you could deal with that, like, you know, that, like, I don't know, takes a step beyond of, oh, guess what, I'm into girls, or whatever.
Hey, guess what, Eric, that was a really good show, One Step Beyond. It was like Twilight Zone.
Okay.
It's on the Hulu. No, I'm just saying, and we're keeping in mind with anthologies. It's just, okay, whatever. Fine, Carl.
Okay, and there is one other thing, because I was kind of teasing you all, but there's one other thing that I want you to consider in context, partially what Stephanie was talking about, partially where the direction of Black Mirror has gone all along. Yes? Everything all right?
We're just laughing.
I'm just trying to figure out why everybody was up in arms about me mentioning this TV show One Step Beyond, when it was just like Twilight Zone, which is just like...
Because it's not good, but I wasn't going to go with that with you right now, all right? It's not... Of all of the anthology shows you bring
you
up,
watched
that
it?
Is not the great
you
one.
You watched it?
Not willingly. Can we stay on topic, please?
Fine.
This is an important point here.
Fine.
Okay. So I was teasing you guys because, again, when you think about most of the Black Mirror episodes, they have kind of a dark ending or a dark twist to them.
They do.
And it seemed very strange that this one ended so chipper.
But it didn't, because it ended with the weird-ass robot, like, filing away a consciousness. It was so...
That's not...
How is that different from what they've been describing since scene one? We knew that they were doing this. Why is that so...
Because we saw how the sausage was made. That's creepy.
But, I mean, you knew when they described that there was something in a server and they was uploading their consciousness, that it was some server in, like, Amazon freaking a server... Like, why does that disturb you?
Our consciousness is parsed out into a little server.
Look at Eric. He's killing himself right now. He's literally committing suicide.
To me, it was crazy.
Okay, listen. That is fascinating, but that is not the issue. Stephanie's aversion to the post-human world is not what made the ending of this dark. The problem is... the ending was too saccharine. Stephanie, you probably hit the nail on the head from the beginning with this episode, which is the back-to-back 80s hits. The back-to-back 80s hits immediately imply a certain unrealism of what it was that we were experiencing. Mm-hmm. At the end of this episode, They literally run off in the sunset together. They end with a big crescendo 80s music. They're dancing together, throwing their hair in the club together. There is no evidence that that is the actual way things ended. It is far more likely, given the context that we know of Black Mirror, that Kelly actually did go on to die. And Yorkie is dancing with a simulation.
Well, or, yes, I agree, or they're both experiencing their own different realities at this point, and the same result is what they're experiencing, which is not real.
Well, but that's not the horror. I mean, you're harping on, yeah, I know, but that's not what the horror would be, because according to everything else in the story, at least they'd be together. That's not what the problem is. The problem is Kelly probably decided to die, and Yorkie is living in the false relationship with the simulation of Kelly. That is the Black Mirror ending to the story. Even though it looks like the 80s, they jumped in the Jeep Miata together and ran off in the sunset. If you've seen all of the other episodes, what is far darker is more likely.
I get it, but how, I don't know. However, I mean, I get what you're saying, Carl, but, and I know that correlation doesn't always equal causation. I get that. But immediately after she dies, then the robot is putting away what the audience can only assume is her consciousness into the server. So I believe that she probably did choose to live on, not necessarily because she's in love with Yorkie, but because maybe she just couldn't handle dying.
Maybe.
I feel like I need to go back and rewatch just the end of it again, just to
stop. Why, Eric? Why, though? Why?
To see if there's any credence to what Carl just said, because that would change my opinion about the whole thing if I saw some type of clue, or even, not a clue, but even if I could see the door being open to that being plausible, what he just said.
I would love it for that, too.
That would be great. That would be great if there's some evidence to that and I just missed it. That would highly change my opinion of this episode. Etc. But I need to go back to confirm because I can't really remember for sure. Because I remember too, I mean, I only watched it once, but I remember too the way it ended, and it seemed like, wow, I'm here, but guess what? This isn't going to work out. And then it almost seemed like there was like a weird do over, or like somehow somebody's mind changed on that. And I don't know, it seemed a bit weird and a bit abrupt.
Yeah, it wasn't convincing, yeah, for sure.
So then,
you know, maybe that's because there's something to what Carl's saying, or maybe it's not. I don't know. But I need to go back and, like, re-examine the last 6 minutes or so to see.
I would totally get behind that. If that were the true ending, I would totally get behind that. I just feel like that probably wasn't the intent of the episode, since immediately after she died, they showed a creepy robot putting away what we can assume is her consciousness into the server. The creepy part for me is that still doesn't quite equal immortality to me. It just doesn't, because you're a facsimile of yourself. I don't know. Death is death, and it just didn't seem like that equals immortality.
So why is death is death, and why is death not, if you transfer to a different type of transcend, as it were, why is that not just a different step? Why, if you have a physical death, why? That's like saying to me, something is on an album, but you put it on a CD, or you put it on a DVD, or you put it on an MP3, that they're all kind of different. They all are kind of different, but they are mostly the same. Yeah, they're more the same than they are different.
The quality suffers. The audio quality suffers.
Sometimes, because if you get a higher quality MP3, you're not going to deal with the same thing. Audio albums they were
arguably the best audio.
Well, look, now look, now
they
look,
were
now
lower look. Because they had all
the- this topic, though. While it is important to think about in general, this has been widely covered already on this podcast or others. And the two like greatest examples of just trying to think about this problem with the duplicates and the copies, there's two things, and you've already heard me bring this up before somewhere.
One is the transporters on Star Trek.
The transporter, of course, on Star Trek, yes. Which is mm-hmm. Is anyone who ever travels in the transporter in Star Trek, are they instantly being killed like the original, and then being replaced with an exact perfect duplicate that contains all the emotions?
Oh my god,
memory.
I love it! I love that concept. That's amazing.
I know that's a long-standing philosophical issue that we've all been grappling with for decades now.
Yep.
You know that there's that that's step number one, and then another way to envision it more viscerally is to think about the Christopher Nolan movie The Prestige, and if you haven't seen The Prestige, then walk away. But what happens with the what's his nose? Wow, I can't think of Logan Wolverine's name.
Jackman. Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman. I don't want to spoil it for someone who, for whatever reason, is not
seriously,
seen that movie.
No, spoil it.
But that deals with this poor situation directly about the transporter conundrum, which is, are you really still alive, or you know, it appears you're just dying when the first one is gone, even though an exact replica exists where there's no difference between the two. But I mean, it seems like once you're gone, you're gone. At least, you know, as it pertains to that. And that kind of seems what... And, you know, that's the big thing, though, when you're talking about transferring a human's consciousness. Because I know they've been talking about that a lot in, like, tech blogs and things, that they say that we're getting close to that, like, being able to preserve, like, the memories of a standard human.
Westworld.
But then you face that question. Because, and then when people start getting, like, philosophical about it, it's not so much a transference of the memories as much as how do you ensure that the soul gets transferred. That's where this stuff always gets messy. I mean, you know, philosophically speaking, that's the real part, because, yeah, it's not just the retaining all the information. It's
right.
That soul thing.
Right.
Nobody quite knows. Yeah, but
transferring the memories doesn't necessarily mean transferring the soul and your immortality.
It's something like Matrix, as it exists in the movie and in the world, in that world, see, that's different, because your brain is still living, it's still ongoing, it's just all your brain senses have been tapped into this computer world, so as far as you're concerned, it's still you really living there. But the essential point is that your original brain still exists, so you don't have to worry about the soul business. So, in other words, it kind of works in the Matrix in that respect. But,
well, and again, the concept that they touched on in the episode, why? Why can you only go there for 5 hours once a week? That would have been awesome
to explore. I would think that has something to do with maybe people, because this has been, I wish I could think of good examples of this, but it's been done in other shows and movies where the person starts getting addicted to the virtual world and they leave behind the real world.
That I agree. That's
all
what's...
the time in anime and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You lose the desire to return. It's okay. It's similar to like being stuck in a dream in Inception, and you know where you start to figure out that Leonardo DiCaprio's trapped in it the whole time because he did it too much. He spent too much time in the dream trying to, like,
go deeper.
Times with his lost wife and everything. That spoiler for that movie. Essentially, they're trying to get Leo to come back out and come back to the quote unquote real world. That's kind of what I would assume. That's why they limit the use. And yeah, it would have been nice to see that explored, but then we might all be just saying, oh, well, this is like Inception.
No, maybe. I think they limited the use because it's something you have to buy. And it is
the license.
Yeah, you have a license, and they only want you to use so much. Yes. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Honestly, yes.
That depressed me a lot because it's like, well, what if like you're in your afterlife and it's like, well, you either pay for this package that's the high roller package, or you get this lower package and we'll give you ads in your afterlife.
Honestly, no, I absolutely
Kill me dead without ads.
I agree, because that's more in line with the feel of the entire series. They touch on several times in different episodes, they touch on the concept of privacy, security, social media, like the will of the crowd. They touch on this a lot. Gamification, they touch on a lot. And kind of this sort of capitalism drive, this marketing feel of different life commodities. I think that Kat touched on that, and that was why they could only be in there for a limited amount of time. Because later on, then when they talk about the quagmire and how people go there to try and feel anything, those are the dead people who are trying to feel something. They can't, because they no longer have that inexplainable thing that is life, that unquantifiable thing that defines what it means to be living. And therefore, that is what terrifies me about the robot putting away the consciousness, because it is a deteriorated form of life. It is not what it once
but
was.
But aren't you today, because you're not the same as you were when you were first out of the womb, a deteriorated form of life? You are closer to being dead now than you are to being born. So aren't you deteriorated?
Well, but I would choose to be someone who, as soon as I'm born, I start dying. I would choose to be that person over something that lives forever that can't ever grow or feel,
but like, or change. Isn't just growing and changing just a switch of an algorithm? Isn't this just somebody writing better code?
But see, it was on a loop, man. It kept returning to that club, and it kept returning. It didn't.
That's
matter.
Because it didn't the company that they used had short sight.
But the skin, they had the same club. They put different skins on it, and by skins I mean the different ears, right? That they put on there. And by the way, they picked things that were very definable for the year or whatever. Something that was glossy and shiny that maybe not.
Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah, the Dance Dance Revolution. So, yes, okay, those things did exist in what, 2004? Fine. And then the horrible fad where people wore their thongs outside of their pants. That existed.
Jesus Christ.
Right? But, okay.
Wasn't that bad?
There was more.
Stop talking,
there was more,
Eric,
to that year, right? There was more to that year than those fads. But yet, those fads are the only things that are represented in that particular loop. And to me, that's not necessarily living. That is simply a product that you have bought. That is a game that you are playing, and it is a simulation of life.
That the life that we're living right now is a simulation? Like, how do you know that it's not?
Because you can die. That's why.
But then what comes after death?
No, you can't die in a simulation.
I mean,
no, you can't. You can't die in a simulation because
you can die because the game ends. But if you haven't paid enough, the game ends and you're done. Game over.
And you're dead.
Game over.
That's right.
Yeah, but you can.
Now I just want to point out that you realize there's other space than just the little club in San. Because remember, they go there. They go to their They go to their homes. They go to the beach. There are other places. It just for the budget purposes, they're focusing. I don't believe the Immortal World is just that club in the street. They all have homes. There's beaches and places to go. I just think that for the sake of the story, they contained it to one particular location. But
well, I get all that too, though. But even so, yes, I mean, I suppose, I mean, it makes sense. This is not going to be a perfect replacement for real life, living in a Junipero world, even if there is more than what we see. I totally get that. So then, are you just trying to say, though, so then the allegory of this story, at least the conflict or the problem, is it just like a Terry Schiavo thing, or is that really what you're saying? I mean, this is more of a question of...
what is life?
Is life support? What is quality of life? Is life support worth it? Like, is that life to keep that engaged, or is it better to, you know, do not resuscitate? I mean, is that how you're interpreting the episode? Is that it's kind of making a case for whether to resuscitate or not, or to sustain?
What I'm trying to say is that it's a big topic. You can't explore everything. However, the characters were not compelling enough for me. The topic is compelling. We're talking more about, you know, these big subjects than the characters themselves.
But the story brought it to us.
The story kind of brought it to us. The second half was obviously more compelling than the first half.
I thought the first half was better.
Was obviously more compelling than the first half.
The first half was intriguing. It drew me in. Because there were so many questions.
About the second half for me.
I hated the first half. I thought it was just too over the top.
I'm with Eric on this one, and I hate to say that. I love you, Eric.
There's nothing wrong with being right every day. Right. Two times a day.
You know what? 50% of the time, you're right. 100% of the time.
Stop talking, Stephanie.
Whatever. All I'm saying is, watch more episodes, Eric, and you will understand what I'm talking
about.
You
know, I really want to hear what other people thought was so intriguing, as opposed to all of the other episodes of Black Mirror. Why this one?
No, but see, I didn't know it made that much of a splash because I wasn't paying attention. But now that you bring it up, I would wonder, is that because the people having that reaction, or, you know, say, are people who don't typically watch a lot of sci-fi or things of that nature? Is it because that's like a casual viewer's response to if they see that episode?
That's a good observation, Eric.
I just think you all are being hard on it, because seriously, the amount of stuff that was covered in this episode. I admit they could have been a little bit more deep in some of these things, but seriously, all of the stuff that they managed to cover.
Carl, I'm surprised. I'm absolutely surprised. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm absolutely surprised that you're going so easy on this one. I think you've been really kind to it. I think we've seen so many things, you and I, Carl. That you are going really easy on this one. And you haven't convinced me that it wasn't because you enjoyed seeing two lesbians making out.
I didn't think it was outright terrible. Like I didn't.
No. Watching it, I agree with you, Eric.
It wasn't terrible.
It was just like a little bit of a missed opportunity. It felt like by the end.
It wasn't terrible.
With a great setup and not a good payoff.
And we are talking about it kind of in a vacuum, but in terms of the entirety of season 3, which was like drop dead awesome. Show was not my favorite, or this particular episode was not my favorite of all of them. In fact, I just watched the finale yesterday, and I thought it was amazing. I thought, holy hell, this is my show. And
Are we going to do another show where we talk about some of the other episodes?
Yeah, we will, but we're just talking about Sandy O'Hara
right now. But I didn't want to get into it.
We do want to cover, like, the question of why this was so intense, where there was like on Twitter, I feel like my feed was full of this was the episode of Black Mirror season 3.
See, I didn't see that, and the lesbian sex for me was just not even that great. It was like, it wasn't even Top Gun sex. It wasn't even like in the dark sexy time suggestions. It was just kind of like, you kind of got the impression that they had sex, and then it immediately cut away to after the sex. So it could have been hot lesbian sex episode.
Well, about the pairing is just, okay, you get What's Her Nose from Home Catch Fire, which is kind of cool, I guess. And then you get Martha Jones' sister on the other side.
Oh, that's who that is.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Tish!
He's so proud of himself. Look at him smiling.
I know. That's adorable,
away.
Eric. You're adorable, so adorable right now. Right it's now. Just freaking adorable, dude.
Look, he's
He's
looking
turned
behind
the light
his...
out because he doesn't want us to see how adorable
he's
he is.
Looking over
that's amazing, Eric. You're like a freaking anomaly.
I'm in the dark here.
God.
For the audience listening, he just smugly smiled as he said that and was congratulating himself, and now he turned out the light.
So he went right.
To be fair, everything to Eric at some point relates back to Doctor Who. So you got to give him credit. He's right on that one. He did well. He did well on that.
But, I'm sorry, I'm not a wizard. I did not turn out the streetlight. Those turn themselves out.
The other thing is, okay, the fact that it happened to be a lesbian relationship in here, that was
Carl, I'm going to want you to stop talking.
No, listen to me. All I'm saying is that it was incidental. I mean, I don't think it was gratuitous. I thought it was...
certainly not gratuitous.
It wasn't gratuitous. It was just a relationship that was going on. And to have, you know, two people close in a way that's not particularly exploitive or titillating, I think
you
that's a natural... I'm serious. I think that's a natural way to go. I'm being very serious. I know you don't, but I don't see why. I mean, I really thought that it was respectful of relationships and that there wasn't anything unusual or dramatic about the fact that
you're trolling me right now. I feel you're trolling me.
You're nuts. I'm telling you, that's really not it. That's not it. That part of it is not very big at all. And the fact that it was treated in a way that was mundane is probably part of what made it so exciting for a lot of people, that hey, you know, you can just have people be in a relationship and it not be a big deal, which is why I'm so surprised that you're making a big deal out of it. It's not in the story.
Well,
it's
I think the reason why I made it a big deal, because I beyond that I couldn't see, because the only people that I saw that was excited about this in my timeline, and this is just a small snippet of like the entirety of Earth, were males that were saying that it was an exciting episode. So to me, when I watched it, it paled in comparison to the other episodes of, I wouldn't say it was the weakest, but I had more of a response to episodes 1 through 3 of season 3 than I did 4. And I think 5 and 6 were also amazing. I wouldn't put this in the bottom, but I wouldn't put this one at the very top either. So I was immediately curious as to what was the motivation of other people liking it other than that. And I guess it is short-sighted of myself just to think that, you know, guys, blah, blah, lesbians having sex, blah, that's whatever. But, you know, that's insulting for me to say for guys to that be the only motivation for them. It is, but sometimes, you know, you gotta just fuck it. A spade is a spade. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, I will simply say that is not what it is.
You can say that now on the podcast to sound intelligent or whatever, but we don't really know what's in your soul, Carl.
Well, I'm telling you, I can tell you what's in my soul. I'm very clear about that. And that's not
you.
What it is. But,
I'm just
but
saying
I know, which is really strange.
Or deny that.
Okay, so anyway, so again, just to review the things that I really did like about it. I love the 80s throwback. I love the music in it. I like the concepts that they brought up were very, very big. Of course, you know, that whole post-humanism issue I thought was really interesting. I like the cocoon edge to this, that, you know, these seniors are reliving their youth. Yeah, they're reliving their... I mean, I like that, as well as the meta fact that Cocoon and Max Headroom are also from the 80s and they go to the 80s. I mean, there's just a lot of that fun stuff that's going on. I like that they're asking these big questions, and I like that. Oddly, in this episode, I could not gauge the time in the episode. And by that, I mean, you know, we've had this talk before. But when you watch Next Generation, the climax is always exactly 12 minutes before the end of the show. So you can tell where you are in the episode. Juniper, I had no freaking idea where I was. I couldn't feel it like I can in many other episodes, which I thought was really, and that also includes the fact that it ended like three times. When the credits rolled, if you stopped when the credits rolled in San Junipero, you missed the whole ending of the episode. You know, you just, nothing. So it was just so fun and fresh and interesting. And it was my favorite episode of season three.
It was my favorite.
I understand. So, yes.
I want to say another nice little thing to notice, like, was when she was in the 80s and the guy was like, hey, you should try out this video game. And Yorkie looked at I think it was Outrun by Sega. And she kind of had like a very, like, not repulsive, but she had a bad reaction to seeing Outrun. And it just foreshadowed that there was something with her and car wrecks. That was like a nice little detail early in the episode. And also, everyone should check out, I don't know why I'm a shill for the TV Showtime app, but that's kind of, I find my way to gauge how people at large feel about any particular episode about anything. Because I'm going through it right now for this particular episode.
Can you repeat that? Because I don't know what you're talking about. Say that again.
TV Showtime app.
What?
The TV Showtime app. The TV Showtime app.
The Showtime? Like the channel?
Yeah, the TV app that we use. It's called the TV Showtime.
Oh, TV app. Showtime. Okay. Yeah, okay. Now, what about this app?
Yeah. I like to go there to gauge, like, see, do people really love this episode or hate this episode of whatever the show is? I like to go there to see the comment section because it's so good, like, the comment section on that app for whatever show it is you're into.
Why not use Reddit? I mean, why TV Showtime? Why not Reddit? Why not Facebook
I don't, because Reddit isn't readily available for me and I can't scan it in 5
there's
seconds.
There's an app, though.
The TV Showtime app. But if you were to go look at the comment section there, you'll see that the love for this episode is so real and so strong, like, because people get, you know, they get to post their little memes and all kinds of little things like that in there. And wow, people really love this.
I think it's justified.
Yeah, I see a lot of people, or not a lot of people, but someone was comparing it, for instance, to their love for the show Sense8. So I guess you can see there's
that
angle there.
Well, that explains why this was not my favorite.
Yeah, so people are comparing this couple to the, ironically, Martha Jones coupling in Sense8.
Did you watch Sense8?
Yeah. And
don't.
I did.
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't get to it.
I will not be watching season 2.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Sense8, I can say this. The Wachowski siblings have done worse than Sense8.
That's not saying much, though.
But
much.
I'm just saying, it's certainly not the worst thing they've ever put out.
No, I'm going to go Matrix 3 was the worst thing that they ever put out. No, I enjoyed Jupiter Ascending
way more. No, stop it. That is not the worst. Okay, we're not gonna do this right now. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, that's not. Seriously, though, Jupiter Ascending was way better than Matrix 3.
The worst.
I'm sorry.
Stop this insanity. Stop this insanity. Now, I'm not a huge fan of 3, but Jupiter, Ascending was not.
I would watch Jupiter Ascending like 5 times in a row before I would ever watch Matrix 3 ever again in life. Matrix 3 traumatized my soul. I think there's a stain on my soul. Matrix 3.
No.
Matrix
no. 3 that is a very is contrarian the, opinion right there.
It is. And by the way, Kelly was in Jupiter Ascending, in case you didn't notice.
You know what? I don't care what yes, you're Tish, talking about Tish, right now. Tish was in it.
She was, because we had a conversation about this, my dear, on our podcast, because she had rat ears, and I was taking issue with that. But let's go on. That's your great movie, She Had Rat Ears, but that's another story. Poor thing.
Are you done?
In any case.
No, you're the one who brought up Jupiter Ascending.
I'm just Stop saying, it was better than Matrix freaking 3.
No. Are we done with talking? I strongly disagree. I think all humanity would. Stephanie, you joining us? Did you run to the bathroom? What's going on there?
Oh my God.
I'm eating the rest of my dinner. What do you want?
We don't have a microwave.
All right.
So, are we finished with okay. Black Mirror?
All right.
I think we are. Does anybody have any final thoughts about this San Junipero episode of Black Mirror? Final thoughts.
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Carl, I think you have a final.
Carl likes to hear his voice.
So I'm right
from the
salad
bar in the background.
So I have a final thought. My final thought on San Junipero is that it was indeed an enjoyable episode. I liked it. I will say that I do not understand why other people didn't like the other episodes of Black Mirror as much as they like this one. I find it suspect, and I will go as far to say that I do feel a little bit resentful, because I thought that all of the episodes had something to offer. And to me, this one, because I've watched a lot of anthology shows, including Outer Limits, One Step Beyond, Alfred Hitchcock, Twilight Zone, all of them, I don't feel that it was weak in any way. It was definitely strong, but I feel like I also want people to expand, you know what I mean? Because if I feel like too many people like one thing, that there's like a pile on. So I don't know. This was Seriously, you're Snapchatting in the middle of podcasting, Stephanie. Jesus Christ. Can I even? Okay, whatever. I don't even know. I lost my thought. I'm sorry.
You did great. I thought you made it.
I thought you were just winding up to something really great. I mean, did I sound drunk? I mean, I'm sorry.
No, you did great. I was with you. I thought you were making a very coherent point, which is basically the whole season was fantastic. And for everybody to like one episode just seemed unfair and suspect, and that, you know, you were trying to talk about the virtues of the other episodes. And I think you were going to say something else.
That's fine. Eric, final thoughts, babe. Okay, Eric is gone.
I had just hit mute.
Okay, hit it.
No, it was okay. It was all right. I already said that. But, you know, whether this merited the attention that it got or not, and, you know, it's funny that it did, because I think that's a coincidence. Like, I don't think my friend was recommending it to me because of anything about why it was popular on social media, because he doesn't pay attention to any of that.
Okay.
Stephanie, final thoughts.
Black Mirror as a show is amazing. I love the writing. The writing is spectacular, and I'm always a big fan of shows that have great writers. I didn't think that was the strongest episode. I love the concept that they were trying to go for. But I feel like if you really want a good representative of the series itself, try another episode. Really, any other episode. And damn! You will find so much more enjoyment. That is my opinion.
You,
Carl, final thoughts.
Carl, you're on mute.
Carl.
Oh my god, he went pee.
Okay, then. So, guys, that is our show. Give us a call, 773-336-2686. That's our voicemail. We'd like to hear your comments on San Junipero or Black Mirror as a whole. Go to our website. Our website is scifipartyline.com. You can leave a message there for us, or you can always go to Twitter or Facebook. We have a Facebook group. You can at us at Twitter. You can also, we'd love an iTunes review.
Yeah.
We really want that.
Maybe not on this particular episode, but...
yeah, because you know what I'm saying? It is a Sci-Fi Party Line. Party Line is... We put the party in Sci-Fi Party Line. So thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. And we will see you at the...
Party next time. And we're live from Houston in a mini Sci-Fi Party Line meetup. And I love Kat. Yay!
Bye.
Wow, that was a lot.
They're frozen. Carl is. I knew there wasn't actually a reason that he would be quiet other than it's frozen.
Because Eric is frozen too, and he's frozen is unfortunate. I'm gonna.
Bye now.
Wait, what's control? Yeah. There it is. There it is. Okay. Oh, bye, guys. I'm just gonna hang up on ya. I love ya, but I'ma hang up on ya.
End of line.